Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, CLF. Good morning, CLF.
Good morning.
Good morning. It is a real privilege to be here this morning. It's a real privilege to be able to minister God's word to you today. As Pastor Aisha said, she's been my mentor for years. I call her my lifelong mentor. And Pastor Joan, Pastor Aisha, they're my spiritual parents. I give them honor and respect this morning for the input they've had in my life over the years, bringing me to the place that I am today. So I really thank God for their lives. I wouldn't be here today without them. So I thank you. Thank you. I salute the leadership of this church, and I thank you for the opportunity to minister here this morning. Let us now delve into God's word. Amen. Now, I do understand that over the last few weeks, you've been looking at revival. And for me, revival is really an exciting topic to look at. So what is revival? What is revival all about? I'd like us to look at some scripture. If you can please turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that brings light, it brings life, it brings understanding, it brings liberty, Lord, to their captives. And Father, we thank you for your word today. Let your word go forth like a two-edged sword, Lord, and bring us to that place of revival that you want us to be in. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 3. I'd like us to turn to verses 29 and 30. You know, it's seldom that when we look at a scripture, a story, we look at the end before we look at the beginning. But when you look at God and the way God does things, he sees the end of our lives, the end of a situation, the end of a circumstance, even before it begins to unfold. So sometimes we sit and think, what's going to happen? What's going on? What will be the end of this matter? But God sees even before we do. He sees ahead of time. Daniel chapter 3, verse 29. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now I'm sure this is a story that many people here are familiar with. These three Hebrew boys were actually thrown into a fiery furnace. And the person speaking in the scriptures that I've just read is King Nebuchadnezzar. But when you look at the start of that chapter, when you look at the start of chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar actually gets his men to build an idol. And he asks the people, commands them, he makes a decree, and says that when the music is played, when the trumpets are blown, that everybody should bow and worship this idol. In fact, in verse 6 of chapter 3, it says, and whoso faileth not to down and worship, not to bow down and worship, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So to me, that says that if you want to keep your life, if you want to live, when you hear the trumpet sound, bow. Do you agree? Yes? No? Talk to me. Yeah? You bow. Yeah? So that's the decree he's made. And if you jump forward to verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're pulled up because they refuse to bow. For some reason, they refuse to bow. Now, when you think about it, that's kind of putting your life on the line. Yeah? Because a decree is not a suggestion. It's not a tip. It's a decree. It's a mandate that has been made. When you hear the sound, bow. And if you don't, you actually commit what's called treason. But in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refuse to actually do this. And let's see their response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, when I look at that, it says we are not careful. So they didn't take time. They didn't reason it out. They didn't think, let me gauge my words. Let me be politically correct. Let me think about GDPR when I give this response. But let me just answer. We're not going to reason it out. We're not going to weigh it in a balance. We're just going to say it as it is. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our king, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. So you can tell I'm a bit old school. I like old King James. Yeah? But if not, so basically saying, if it's God's will, he'll deliver us. But if not, be it known unto thee. Imagine saying that to the king. Be it known. Don't be uncertain. Be very clear. Be it known unto thee, O king. Still give him the respect, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage, face, was changed. So you can see he's annoyed, to put it mildly, against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But it's interesting that the first scriptures that we read, verse 29 and 30, you can see that he's actually saluting, he's applauding them. He's celebrating their God. So something, if you're following my trail of thought here, something must have happened between verses 3, all the way down to 16, all the way down to 29 to 30. Something has happened in these scriptures. Let's look at them together. As I said, we're looking at the theme of revival today. It was interesting because when I started looking at the word revival, I know there must be the Greek, the Hebrew, and all those definitions, but when you look at the word revival, and if you were to break it up into three segments, you've got the R-E-V, rev, the I in the middle, and you've got the vow, rev, I, vow, yeah? And for me, when I look at the word revival, and perhaps you can see in as well. I'm just going to check if you're paying attention. What can you see in the middle? I. Because I strongly believe that when it comes to revival, it starts with the I. It starts with us. I is at the very center of the word revival. That means revival is more than a church program. It's more than an activity in the calendar. It's not an exciting thing, just not an exciting thing that we pray about. That, yeah, let's pray about chakama, shakama, let's pray about revival. Revival is about the I in you and the I in me. For me, I see my mandate here this morning is not only to challenge you, but to challenge myself, to commit to revival. Because I believe when it comes to revival, there's a spirit of revival. But we make a choice whether we want to engage with it or not. When it comes to revival, and when it comes to the I that's in the middle, it's about us making a choice. Because we make a choice, I will do this, I will not do that. I will say this, and I will not say that. I will go here, and I will not go there. When it comes to revival, it's not about the superstars in church. It's about you, and it's about me. If you look around, well, maybe not here, in Australia, on the news, unfortunately, you see a bushfire growing. And can you imagine if each one of us responded to the call of the Spirit of the Lord for revival to burn wherever we are? In our schools, our homes, our colleges, wherever God has planted us. And we decide that we're going to be a bushfire for the Lord. We're going to burn brightly for him. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Not just me, but every single person in this room. Because that scripture is in black and white, no matter what version you use. It's for each and every person here. But are we willing to respond? Are we willing to be the eye in the midst of revival? Are we willing to be the conduit for God's Spirit to flow through us to impact the generations that we're in? pain. Because if you look at it here and now, there's a strong need for a revival. And it's not about him out there often, you know, saying to the students, it's not about Sister Blue Skirt and Brother Blue Trousers. It's about you and me. It's about us responding to the eye. It's for us to take that step forward and say, Lord, I'm going to be that eye. I'm not just going to be a pew warmer. I'm not just going to be a Sunday morning, going to church, Christmas time, Easter, watch night service. I'm responding to the call. I am going to be the answer, the solution, by the grace of God. Not because I'm perfect, but I realize that I want to be an eye. I want to be the eye in revival wherever God has placed me. I am not perfect, but I'm willing to be subjected to you. Because when it comes to revival, it's about availability. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, roaming, looking, calling, searching out. The Bible says that creation is groaning. Scripture says that creation is groaning. That sense of it's aching under the weight, the pressure, the need for the sons and the daughters of God to arise, to respond to the call. You know, when I was thinking about this thing of revival, you know, often we say, oh, look at the world. Do you know what's going on there? Oh, look at politics, the government. Did you hear what that Prime Minister did, or did you hear what that famous person did? But the world is just being the world. You can't blame them. Why should we even be surprised? More so, we should be surprised when we're not being the church on the block. We should be surprised when we're not being salt and light. You know, when I looked at this whole thing about electromagnetic fields and about light and about fire and the impacts that he makes, and God's calling us to burn for him wherever he's placed us. And when revival comes, would we want to go for it? Would we see it? Would we know it? Would we understand it? It's one thing to say and pray about it, but when we hear it, do we want to align ourselves with it? Are we willing to be unpopular in the workplace? Are we willing to be that person who doesn't laugh at those jokes? Who doesn't look at those magazines? Who doesn't go to certain Halloween activities? Are we prepared to say, no, this is Christian. We're not going to do Winterfest. We're going to celebrate Christ. Are we prepared to be relevant Christians in our society today? Because for me, it'll be a cost for me. And I'm sure it'll be a cost for every person here. But the scripture says that we press towards the prize of the high call. And a man of God said, why be a spineless jellyfish Christian? Pastor Joe. Why be a Christian that's got no backbone? If we're going to do it, let's do it right. If not, let's join a club. But if we're going to serve God, let's send the passion and a fire. Because when it comes to revival, revival's about consecration. It's about saying, no, I'm going to do this, but no, I'm not going to do that. Let's cry out for revival. Let's cry out for a passion for God. Because when we're passionate for God, there's change. When we're passionate for God, we're running to the prayer meeting. We're running to the house of God. We're saying, Pastor Aisha, when are we going to fast next? Come on, we fasted last week. We want to fast again. When's the next program? Where's the next activity? We want to get involved. Revival takes responsibility because that person realizes that they are the eye in that equation. Every single person in this room is needed. Every single person, because I can't make soap like you, Afriye, most definitely not. But you are needed to function where you are. Nobody's a duplicate. Nobody's a replicate. Even if you're a twin sisters over there, you still function in your own specific area of authority, of ministry. And God is calling us to rise. There's a call to revival, I believe. But the choice is down to us. And today, sorry, I didn't mention this at the beginning, but my message, if you haven't guessed already, is speaking to the I in me. And I want us this morning to speak to the I that is in you. I'm speaking to the I in me because that I in me, I believe, is nestled within my spirit man. My spirit man that cries out for the things of God, that cries out amidst all my failures, my weaknesses, and the things I have, the things I don't have. But inside me, deep in my core, that spirit man, that eye is inside that says, I want more of God. I want more of the things of God. And the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. Brothers and sisters, let us rise up. Let us rise up to be that eye, that conduit to bring in revival. We need to cry out for the flames of revival to burn in our conversations, in our families, in our marriages, our friendships, our workplaces, the school gates, wherever God has placed us, we need to cry out for his revival so that his kingdom comes and that his will is done through us and also in us. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, therefore, since we have so great a crowd of witnesses, there are witnesses, there's people that have gone before us, but also people cheering us on. Let us lay aside every weight, every stumbling block, every hindrance, everything that's baggage that's slowing us down. Because at the end of the day, we know our lives more than anybody else. You know, I often say in church, you know, everybody's fine. You ask somebody, how are you fine? It's like a blanket answer. Everybody is fine. Guaranteed, everybody's fine. But deep down, truly, God knows where we're at. He knows where we are at. And the challenge today that I'm issuing to everyone, including myself, let us rise up to embrace the spirit of revival. What is God saying to you today? What situation, what circumstance do you find yourself in? Like I said before, it's all well and good that we point and say the world is doing this, the world is doing that. But let it become more than a talking point. Let it be a prayer point. Let it be a point of intercession. Let it be a point of supplication. Let it be a point of action on our part so that we are used by God to bring in revival. So turning the torch on ourselves and looking at our lives, what does revival look like? It's consecration. It's forgiveness. It's rededication. It's purification. It's sanctification. It's costly. Because it does mean saying no to a couple of things, and it's saying yes to a couple of things as well. And that's not an easy call. But if really and truly we want to be conduits of revival, that's the price we have to pay. And who wants to be in a football game? Who wants to be on the, I'm no expert here, but who wants to be on the sidelines? Who wants to be a substitute and watch others play? Wouldn't you rather be there to be used by God, to bring glory to him? You know, I'm not saying this because of what Pastor Aisha said, but who are your sons and daughters when it comes to ministry, when it comes to spiritual things? Who have you inputted into? Who can turn towards you and say, yes, that person made a difference in my life? That person helped me on my journey. And I'm not talking about us being perfect, but who can we turn to? Because sometimes our lives are so clouded with stuff and the job and the car and the promotion and the property and the land and stuff. But what about legacies, spiritual legacies? Who can we turn to and say, yeah, that's my son. I brought them up. I invested in them. Not because we're boasting, because we know that Christ is in us, the hope of glory, and we're sharing that light, that Christ, with other people. We're helping each other on our way, because we need others to help. Iron sharpens iron. Scripture says, run with endurance the race that is set before us. How well are we doing with our running this morning? Because that's part of revival. That's part of revival. You know, there's that saying that still water stinks. What are we doing? You know, back in the day, and there was this saying, David, you might remember, you know, about this whole thing about just getting what we can, putting it in the can in the can, and then sitting on the can. Is that what we're doing, just becoming spiritual fat cats and amassing information, hallelujah, high five, praise the Lord, brother, see you next week. You know, what difference is Christ making our lives? Are we prepared to be that bushfire that causes a wildfire? Because we serve a dynamic, awesome God, the dunamis power of God. And it's not power that just sits in this book that's put on a shelf somewhere. It's the power that's needed here and now when policies are being made that don't favor God's house, God's will, God's kingdom. It's the dunamis power of God that we need to tap into to see a change in society today. It's about us responding to be that I that says, yeah, I want to be radical. I don't mind. It may not sound trendy, but if it means a fresh commitment to God and to the things of his house, to prayer, fasting, reading the word, evangelism, shining for him as salt and light, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go back to grassroots. I'm going to go back to the beginning. I need revival in my life. I can't have it just as it is. Enough is enough. It's time to shake off the grave clothes and the sackcloth and say, no, now's the time to tap in, to draw from the Lord and say, now, let's arise. But it's an action. It's not a passive state. It's a mental, spiritual heart decision. And there's a physical move as well. Are we ready to pay the price? Because when it comes to revival, we can't keep courting carnality and playing with the things of this world in the secret, sometimes outside and open, to be fair. We can't do that. We can't be on the fence. We can't be neutral. We can't be carnal. It's that having that sense of, this is what I stand for. This is what I believe. I will do this for the Lord because I gave my life to him because of what he did for me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Bible says that we have this awesome treasure in earthen vessels. And we're dynamite as we're sitting here today. But the thief comes to steal from us, to rob us, to distract us with things and stuff and deceive us so that we don't know who we are in Christ and the power that works and resides within us so that we can respond to being that eye, a conduit of revival where God has placed us. Brothers, sisters, let's arise. The time is now. The hour is now. For some of us, we have natural children. For some of us, we have spiritual children. But what legacy are we leaving behind? The times are hard. They're difficult. I'm glad I'm not a child at school. It's a difficult hour that we live in now. But what legacy are we leaving behind? What spiritual legacy are we leaving for those that are coming along behind us? Because if we're not fire, if we're cold and indifferent, what will they pick up? What do they have to run with? And that's not just if you have birth children, but what a shame to be able to look back and say, okay, well, we made it. Thank God we got there. But what about them? We have a responsibility. We have responsibility. The time is now. The hour is now. First John chapter 3, verse 8. For this purpose, Christ was revealed to destroy the works of the enemy. This is why Christ was revealed. Not so that Minister Steve can pray for somebody to get deliverance. We all clap, oh, praise the Lord. Go, Steve. Yeah, you do it. For this purpose, Christ was revealed to us all. To us all. Not for a select few, to us all. And we receive by the measure we want and we desire. Let us not settle for anything less than being conduits of God's revival in this age, in this generation. Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 and 2. Oh, if thou would rend the heavens. So after we've prayed and we've cried out to God, because there's a need for that. There's a need for that. There's a need for us to cry out to him for a change, for a breakthrough, to see change in our land. There is a need. Society needs it. The government needs it. Our country needs it. The countries we come from, we're not there anymore, we're enjoying chicken and chips in London, but our countries that we come from, they need revival. But are we prepared to pray the prayers, to fast the fasting, to cry out to the Lord, not just scream, but cry tears to the Lord, to see change brought about? Because we are called to be world changers. Are we prepared, after we've prayed, then to act, to be available to be used? To do that Bible study in the workplace. People are like, oh, you know what? Bible study? Even to say the words, we're like, it's a study. What kind of study? Bible. Okay. Being prepared to do that. But there's a hurting, dying nation that surrounds us. And we are the answer. We are the salt. We are the light. Not to be kept hidden. A lighthouse is not something low. It stands out tall. It's a source of refuge. And believe it or not, there are people around you who, they may not say it, and they may act like they've got it together, but they need Christ. They need Christ. And we have the answer. What are we doing with the answer? So we've looked at what revival is. It's a turning aback. It's like a spiritual reboot. It's a reawakening. It's a reconnecting back to God. It's realigning ourselves with God's kingdom, his purpose, his plan, his will, his agenda for our life. That's what revival is in its simplest form. And involves I. It involves the I inside you that makes the decision, inside me that makes the decision as to whether I want to respond. It's the I that responds when the Spirit of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord are searching. It says, me, Lord, I don't have it all together. I don't know the answers. I'm not perfect. I make so many mistakes. I'm so clumsy. But I'm willing. I'm going to go for it. And the Lord says, yes, my son. Yes, my daughter. And we can all imagine the angels in heaven that are cheering and are released when a son of God rises up and says, yes, I want to go for a revival. We can all imagine the power that's released for us to do that which the Lord has called us to do. So are we ready to realign ourselves to God's will, his purpose, his plan for our lives? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. We don't do it alone. He's there with us, cheering us on, supporting us, saying, yes, go for it. I'm with you. I'm in this. We'll do it together. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Those who know their God, those who are reconnected, recommitted, realigned to God, those who make a decision to be intimately acquainted with God, to have that fresh encounter, those who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And when I look at that scripture, it doesn't put any requirements around age, how dark, how light you are, how tall, how short, how much money you have or don't have, if you've got a bike or a car or a scooter. It doesn't put any requirements around that. It just says those who know their God, those who have that desire to know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. I can't settle just to be a sub, to be a substitute and just watch. No. Don't settle. Don't settle just to watch others. Because there's a destiny inside you, bubbling up, waiting to express itself. And that's the I, that's the will, that's the spirit man responding. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let's not settle to be entertained, but let's make that commitment for Christ. And when you think about it, there's always going to be a reason not to. There's always going to be a reason not to take a step forward for revival. There's always going to be a good reason. Whether it's my weakness, a temptation that comes along, there's always going to be a good reason. Are we prepared to pay the price? Costly. Costly price. Are we prepared? Are we ready? Are we ready to make a difference? Are we ready not to just sit back and watch the show of revival going on in front of our eyes, but are we ready to be used by God? You know, some people find roller coasters really exciting, but serving God is so much more exciting. So much more. So much more exciting. Are we ready? You know, before I close, just looking at that word, revival, rev with the I in the middle and the vowel. And when I broke it down, what I looked at, what I saw was rev, having that revelation of Christ. So that the I that's in me makes a decision to be sold out for Christ, embracing a zealous Christian life of value. A revelation of Christ so that the I that's in me makes a decision, costly, quality decision, to be sold out, to spend my life, to give my life totally for Christ, to embrace a zealous, not passive, not lethargic, not apathetic, not lukewarm, not standing on the fence, not 007 license to do nothing, as Pastor Les would say, but embracing a zealous Christian life of value. A life of value that makes impact, that brings about change, that honors the one that saved us. Because our salvation didn't come cheap. Christ paid a price for us to be saved. And sometimes we can kind of forget, because we kind of get sucked into the club life of Christianity. And then our born-again status loses its bite. But it's that turning back and saying, Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. My Christianity, my salvation has become too sophisticated. I need you. I need to go back to that place. I need to be revived so that I can revive others. Esther said, it was said of Esther that she was born for such a time as this. We're here for such a time as this. We weren't born in the Victorian age. We're here now because Christ has something to do through us and in us to make a change, to make an impact, to bring about revival. Let's not sit on what God has for us to do. Irrespective of our hang-ups in the past and the mistakes, he's got something for us. He really does. But are we ready to apply ourselves to revival, to live for purpose and be part of revival? I'd like us to stand, please. And perhaps if you can have somebody on the keyboard, that'd be great. You know, it was so interesting that one of the songs we sang, which was so passionate and emotive, was Fill Me Up Till I Overflow. And that's part of revival. But we're going to settle for just songs. And this is not about guilt. This is to fire you up. This is to fire you up. The Bible says that we should stir up one another to good works. But fill me up till I overflow. Is that our heart's desire? And are we willing and ready to act on it? Let's just begin to reach out to the Lord. If this is your heart's desire today, if this is your cry, if this is your desire for more of the Lord. For me, I realize that without him, I'm nothing. I realize that without him, I'm empty. I realize that I'm desperate without him. And if you realize that actually, I want to be that I want to see change in my life. Let's just begin to pray and let's just begin to cry out to the Lord. You know, perhaps the worship team can join as well. Thank you. Let's just begin to cry out to the Lord today. Maybe you're fine. Maybe you're there. I know I'm not. I need more of the Lord. I need him passionately and desperately. I don't want to be just a sophisticated saint. I need the Lord. I need him. I want to be that bushfire wherever he's placed me. I want to be that source of a solution because Christ is in me the hope of glory. I want to see change in my life so that I can bring about change. So that I live a life that honors the one who died on the cross to save me from my sins. If that's you here, just reach out to the Lord. If that's the change you want to see, if you want to see revival, because I strongly believe if we cry out for revival as individuals, then revival will come to us as a church. It will come to our communities. So that that when we pray and we go out to evangelize, the people will come in. That our work colleagues will ask us, what's going on? You're different. I need what you have. I need a change in my life. I need an answer. I need a breakthrough. I need something. And we can answer because we have Christ in us. Because we have availed ourselves to be used by God. And we're not keeping what we have to ourselves, but we realize that we are a source of revival where Christ has placed us. Let's cry out to the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to forgive us. When we become inward looking and our salvation has just been about ourselves. It's just been about us and what we can amass. Let's cry out to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us, to cleanse us, to wash us, to refocus our spirits on Him once more so that we can be aligned with Him, with His will, with His word, with His agenda. Let's cry out for more from the Lord so that we live consecrated, sanctified lives that set apart for the King and His kingdom. That His will indeed is done in our lives. That we say yea and amen to the will of God. That we have a fresh passion and fire for prayer, for the word, for seeking God's face, for evangelism. That we have a fresh passion and desire for the things of God once more. Let revival come. Yes, Ikarana Mashekele Boria Santa. Let's cry out for revival. Imashekele Boria Sakandele Isete. For our nation needs revival.
Let's go. 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 Let's
before you today. Father, we realize that we are desolate without you. Father, Lord, we need you, Lord Jesus. We need a fresh encounter with you, a fresh touch from you, oh God. Father, Lord, we ask that the spirit of revival, Lord, let it engulf our hearts, Lord. Let it engulf us as individuals and also as a church, Lord God. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you breathe your Holy Spirit upon us afresh, Lord. We ask for fresh anointing, fresh fire, fresh boldness, Lord God, and a fresh passion for you, for your kingdom, and for your house. Fill us to overflowing with grace. And Father, for each person who's responded to the call, Father, I ask that you anoint them and give them grace to follow you with tenacity. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. May God bless you. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you so much, Pastor Marilyn. You know, we hear a message like that, the temptation is we get so excited here, but the challenge comes when we leave those doors, when we go home. You know, I think it's Darlene Check who sang, I say on Sunday I want revival, but on Monday I can't even find my Bible. We need God's grace.